So again, our message this morning comes from 1 Peter 3 through 9. And I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. And our title to our message this morning is On His Feet He Stood. And so I'd really like to go back real quick to the Lord in prayer and pray over the Word as well as pray over the message this morning. So let's go and pray together. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning in this house of worship. We are gathered here together as a group of friends and certainly of a group of brothers and sisters in Christ. We come to you this morning on bended knee and we ask that you use the words that we read out of the Holy Bible as well as those who are that is shared with the group this morning in message. We ask that you use those to the nourishment of our bodies and the nourishment of our souls. Help us to unite in your word this morning and leave here better than we came. We ask all these things now in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, I'm reading now the New Living Translation, and this is the section of 1 Peter that talks about the hope of eternal life. Listen to these words. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive His salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fires test and purify gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials in your life, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole entire world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting in Him will be the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning. I do welcome you to Bethel, and I again wish you the happiest of Easters. The Bible is where we find two primary themes. And maybe we should call them stories. Both stories or themes beset us in a garden. The Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane. In Eden, Adam was given the perfect world by God. At that very moment, Adam stood in a sinless place and in a perfect world. However, Adam stumbles and later fails miserably. And thus, sin begins. However, in the second garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus faces with an imperfect world. There He is, in an imperfect place, sin and deceit all around Him. And yet, unlike Adam, Jesus stands on His feet. There He stood like an immovable foundation. Today, this is why your message is entitled, On His Feet He Stood. Jesus Christ stood that day for you and for me, and therein lies this short message this morning at sunrise when I spoke about the cornerstone. Therein lies the cornerstone, the anchor of our faith, where our hope exists. Thus, on this Easter morning, it is fitting that we consider the power of our hope as Christians. In doing so, I have chosen our reading this morning from 1 Peter. As you know, Peter is known as the Apostle of Hope. Friends, faith, hope, and love are all tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection that we celebrate this morning, those three things likely and almost definitely would not be present. Thus, Easter, to me, but to most, all in faith, is the celebration of celebrations of our existing faith. It is the greatest of our celebrations. We spend an entire week celebrating Easter. Peter personally experienced what he has written in the Gospel of 1 Peter. His writings give eyewitness accounts and testimony to the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Peter, along with others, personally saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. They all had firsthand knowledge of the great faith, the great hope, and the great love because of their assurance of Christ's resurrection. These men saw it firsthand. They touched him, so they had true assurance that hope, love, grace, mercy, all of those things come with the resurrection. Friends, there is great power in that kind of testimony. The testimony of the believer and the witness to God's all-powering love. These men witnessed it. Peter witnessed it firsthand. As believers, we are certain about spiritual realities. When those types of things happen to us, we are most certain. We become confident in our faith because of those spiritual realities. This morning we see and feel that great power of hope as we read from the pen of a man full of hope, known as the Apostle of Hope. Peter wrote these words about 30 or so years after Christ's death and resurrection. He was writing to encourage the persecuted Christians of Asia Minor. They were being abused by overbearing bosses. They were being threatened by unbelieving spouses and ridiculed by skeptical neighbors and associates. On the horizon even loomed the possibility of a much more violent form of persecution for those in Asia Minor. It was a very anti-Christian society, to say the least, when Peter wrote these words. You know, as I studied for this sermon and read those words, it all came home to me. If you read deeper in Peter's penmanship, it almost sounds like we are talking about the world that surrounds each one of us today. That's kind of scary, but it does. So two questions came to mind for me. How do you stay hopeful when your life is undergoing these kinds of tests and challenges? How do you stay hopeful? What do you do when life seems to have more questions than answers? What do we do? How do we stay in hopeful? How do we have hope? How do we share hope? How do we do all of these things as Christians should when we too may have our own questions? Simply put, you have to have hope to keep on going. Julie and I talked about this morning. You know, I wrote this sermon and never spoke to Julie Turner until this morning at breakfast. And here I find myself using her as the example in our conversation about hope. She and I basically said the same thing. In order to keep going as a Christian in this world today, we must surrender ourselves to and trust God and live in the hope that comes with our belief in Jesus Christ. But the hope you must possess can never die. That's the challenge. This is the hope that Scripture speaks about this morning in verse 3. When I say I hope we have a beautiful Easter service, although that is true and genuine, and we do, and we have already this morning, it comes out as if there is some uncertainty in that statement. Well, I hope we have. That sounds somewhat uncertain. When the Bible, however, speaks of hope, it is talking about the very opposite of uncertainty. It is communicating with assurance. The hope that Scripture speaks about is all about shall have hope. It is assurance of hope, with confidence that these future events spoken of are surely going to take place. Biblically, friends, hope is a surety. There is no uncertainty in the hope that you carry with you this morning. I promise you that. Hope that Scripture speaks of is surety. It will happen. It's coming your way. As Christians, we need to understand this difference. If you reread Scripture with this difference in mind, it changes our understanding of the text. Let me show you. Let me reread the words to you with assurance and certainty. I will add the words before the verse in the following statement. As a believer, you shall. So the shall brings you certainty. Okay? So let me read 1 Peter 1:4 with certainty. As a believer, you shall obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You shall receive all of those things. In 1 Peter 1:5, as a believer, you shall be protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time is yours. These two verses certainly contain a level of absolute certainty. The Bible concept of hope involves absolute truth and absolute certainty. As followers of Christ Jesus, God is at work in our lives to make us more like Him. Simply put, that's the hope that we share as believers of Christ. God's kindness towards us is that we are being made more like Jesus as we live, as we struggle, as we are challenged. We are being more like Jesus. We are being made more like Jesus because of our hope and trust. And in the life to come, we will get to be like Jesus. So today we're being made more like Jesus. But as I spoke to the children, when we are in eternity, we will be like Jesus. That's what the Scripture promises each one of us. We won't be tempted at that moment to sin anymore. We will have no faults. We will have no failures. And there won't be any mess ups. We won't stumble like Adam and fail like Adam. Let me tell you a quick story about a peach farmer. And so I don't know what the title of the story is, but I titled it Confused by Peaches. That's right, peaches. I said it. You didn't misunderstand what I said. A young man was trying to establish himself as a peach grower. He worked hard and invested everything he had in a peach orchard. Finally, it blossomed. But later came a frost and killed everything he had in that peach orchard. He did not go to church following that destruction of his crop on the next Sunday, nor did he go the next Sunday, or the Sunday after, or the Sunday after. His pastor went to try to encourage him to get back to church. The young man complained. "I'm not coming back to church," he said. "I'm not practicing my faith," he said. "What's the need?" he asked. "Do you think I want to worship a God who cares for me so little that he will allow my crop to be destroyed and allow a frost to kill all of my peaches when I'm just now beginning my business?" The minister looked at him in silence for a few moments. Then he kindly said, "God loves you more than he loves peaches. He knows that while peaches do better without frost, it is impossible to grow the best men without frost." "Young man," he said, "you need to understand something. And you need to understand it clearly. God's intention is to grow men, not peaches." So let me close this sermon on Easter with these final words. God wants you to experience the power of hope. He talks about it in 1 Peter. Remember, Peter had a firsthand account of God's hope and power. In doing so, God intends to grow faithful believers, not uncertain naysayers. Faithful believers produce hope, which in turn produces the ability to overcome the human desire to do the wrong thing and allows us to do the right thing because God's presence in our lives has simply changed us. Friends, on this Easter morning, do you have hope? If you were at sunrise or you weren't, if you woke up this morning after our past current weather and you woke to the sun brilliant coming through your windows and you have no hope, let's speak after service. I will be glad to send you this prayer. I've written it purposely to share. So I want to share this prayer with you before I conclude the sermon. So unusually, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead and that the death was sufficient to pay for all of my sins, and therefore God is for me and not against me, and that you yourself are alive today and with me to help me forever. Lord, I pray that you will help me now to hopefully be filled with immense hope that comes through your promises, so that I am freed from the greed and self-pity that comes from fear and anxiety, and that I might be driven to imitate your love and your kindness. Thus, Lord, grant me in these times of stress and anxiety to have the power of soul, to be joyful, and to fill my life with the labors of love and hope that you provide. Amen. This is a prayer for hope. And so I share with you the following. I will be glad to share that prayer with you. If you email me, I will send it to you. If you don't want it, I'll still pray for you through it. But that is our prayer for hope. This morning, as a family of believers, we will share in the greatest symbol of hope known to mankind. And it sets before me, and it is set before you. And that is the Lord's table. Friends, before you is the bounty of our faith. Remember, Jesus stood before the world to take our sins. Jesus did this to grow the faith of the believer. He did this so we could relish in the hope eternal that we read about this morning in 1 Peter. On his feet, Christ stood in hope for you and me. Friends, I ask you this morning, will you stand with Jesus Christ today in the same hope that he has for you? Will you stand in that hope with him this morning? If so, in just a few short minutes, we shall break bread together at the greatest symbol of hope. Amen.